We are going to be looking at the whole area of family. One of the themes for this year we're going to look at is basically looking at strengthening families. Okay, let's turn to Genesis. All right, we're going to look there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 25. Sorry, verse 15. Okay, we'll read all the verses and then after we will dive in. I'll read verse 15, you read verse 16 and so on. Genesis chapter 2. Verse 15, and the Bible says, and the Lord God took the man, put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Verse 18.
And the Lord God said, it is not good.
And out of the ground did the Lord God form every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Verse 25, together, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every family, for every individual of family, who are here, whose families are not here, the Lord, we will be able to understand, Lord, your intention, your design for the family. Lord, I pray for a family here that needs your help. Lord, we all need your help in every area of our family life, in the stressful Singapore life, and Lord, also in a lot of challenges that not only we as husband and wife, as parents, as children face. Lord, we really need your grace and your help in times of these needs. And so as we look at the foundation from your word, help us to make sure we reorientate, realign, Lord, all our lives, priorities, and even our family itself, so that it will be right on your word. Standing on your word, so that we'll be strong in this world, Lord, of trials and temptations. Looking forward to the day we'll see you. In the meantime, help us to understand these things. We thank you. I pray as I share and preach your word, that you would hide me behind your cross. Father, it is all you. You are the teacher, and I pray that as your instrument, that you would take away all my worldly thoughts and philosophies, the things that I may have learned, and put it away and put your word right at the forefront. That all of us, Lord, may grow in Christ and every family establish firmly on Christ. And we'll thank you. For those who are not here, I pray that you'll help them, Lord, to be well where they are. And that the Holy Spirit would help them too in the challenges in their hearts and in their families. Right now, we commit this hour into your hands. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, by way of introduction, all of us are members of a family. You wouldn't be here if you're not. Okay, we're all members of a family, whether you're a son, you're a daughter, you're a husband, you're a wife, you're a mom or a dad. And for those who are married, you may want to think back to the time that you got married and think about why you got married. And you know what? That can be either a very encouraging thing or can be a...
Why are you laughing, bro? Okay, we can discuss it offline.
Or it can be some things that I wish I could have changed certain things. God's word, God wants us to get back to His will, and also to, and maybe for the right reasons, for the wrong reasons, we don't know. But you know what? The key thing is now. We cannot change the past. Amen. We can't change the past. But I think if there are certain things that are happening that we need to really rightly address as we hear God's word now, We need to ask God for strength and His grace to do that. Okay? I know in our congregation, I was reminded by a sister as I was doing this that some of us may have lost our spouses. Okay? Our spouses are no longer around. Okay? We do have widows. We do have people. And say, Mark, this is not relevant to me anymore. But you do have grandchildren. You do have people. You do have your own children still. Learn these principles, and when you see things are not going too right in their lives, you can teach them. Amen? Okay, we all can teach one another. All right? And so we'll dive right in Genesis chapter 2. There are 5 Bible truths about marriage that we need to understand. And children, before you shut down and say, sorry, Brother Johnny, I'm a student, marriage is not on the cards. I know, but I can tell you that you will be thinking, and it's important to actually start those lessons now. Okay, and I'll explain why as we go along. Let me start by saying truth number one, marriage is a spiritual institution by God. Okay, you can start writing down if you like. Marriage is the spiritual institution by God. Okay, it was God who said, it is not good that man should be alone. It was God who caused a deep sleep and brought Eve to Adam. That's the first anesthesia that happened, general anesthesia. It was God who caused a deep sleep. Those who want to do medical, and God was the first surgeon. He put Adam to sleep, okay? And he was his first surgeon. He was the one who actually took out the ribs as well, okay? And it was God who brought Eve to Adam. He was the first father who gave the daughter away. So God knows all about marriage because He's the one who started it. He's the one who initiated it. Later, it was God who gave the instructions of leaving and cleaving. And the point I want to make under this truth is that if God made marriage, God can make it work. You know, it's a sad thing many Christians, unfortunately, whether in Singapore or overseas, marriage, divorce is always on the cards. Let me be honest. I think many families have considered that in the course of their relationships. And I want to challenge you, as a Christian, divorce is not an option. Because you have God to help you, amen? And we need to get back to what God says. And I'll show you later on that marriage is God's wonderful institution so that we can experience His love through it, okay? So many marriages today, when God made marriage, God had to make it work. We just have to follow the manual. We just have to follow the manual. Many marriages today are not doing well. Many husbands and wives are not doing well in their relationships because they're not following the manual. Okay, there was one time during Chinese New Year, not this year, I think it was last year or year before, I cannot remember. During Chinese New Year, we want to wash all the clothing, and wash all the curtains and everything, right? And we actually had a dryer. You know, those of us who are dryer who dry clothing, you need a cooling down time. After they've dried, let's say for about 1 hour, and the machine actually needs a cooling down time. Because we were in a hurry, or at least I was in a hurry, I'd say, come on, let's. So before, okay, so this curtain is dry, so I want to put the next curtain in. Without giving the cooling down time, guess what? The dryer. And 2 days before Chinese New Year, not many shops, and of course all the delivery people will be very busy and all that. We couldn't find a dryer. I think I cannot remember what happened, but we managed to find a dryer at the end. And, if I would have read the manual, I wouldn't have spoiled the dryer. That you need at least half an hour cooling down time. The new one that we bought actually have a cooling down time. We need a dryer because the place, our HDB flat, the flat that we stay in, the sun just don't come in, so it's very hard. We actually get our clothing dry. There was one time when we had 3 children and we had a dry, and we find that it takes 3 days to dry our clothing. So we say we better get a dryer because all the, you know, the children's clothing will be all over the hall and all over the kitchen and all that. We had to dry. So we had the dryer. You know, many people are not reading the manual. That's why their marriages don't work out or their families don't work out. Children, you're involved in families. All right. So don't shut your ear yet. In the same way God made marriage, and in order for it to work properly, we need to follow His manual. Would you agree with me? But Brother Johnny, that means if it's a spiritual institution, that means what if non-believers get married? So how? Doesn't matter. It's still a spiritual institution because God made it. The problem with non-believers, what they don't have is God to guide them. And that's why a lot of the marriages fall down and break down. Okay. Today we want to look at the manual. Alright? And we want to see what we need to do in preparation for it. And that's where the preparation comes, right? For the younger ones, I'll be looking at preparation as well, how to spiritually prepare for marriage. I'm not saying that, oh, after this I can get married already. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this is a lesson that you learn, okay? If you are at that age, you need to take it seriously. All right? Okay? Now, truth number two, because marriage is a spiritual institution, the marriage partner need to have a relationship with God. Because marriage is a spiritual institution, the marriage partners need to have a relationship with God. Okay, that's a very, very important truth. Adam was created by God and he had the image of God. And Adam was in perfect relationship with God. There was no sin, so there was no problem with communication between Adam and God. Eve was created by God and she had the image of God and was perfect in the eyes of God. And so both of them had relationship with God. And both have a perfect relationship. Perfect relationship. Can you imagine you have perfect relationship with one another? All right? So Adam was in an honest, open relationship with God, and so was Eve. And both of them had a relationship perfectly before sin came in. But because of sin, many people are getting married into an institution, but they don't know how to operate within that institution because they never consult the manual. It's a very simple, if you're a Christian, do you realize how blessed we are? That God will tell us how we need to live our lives. All we need to do is follow the manual. But because of man's sin, the Bible says men sought out other inventions. We come up with our own thoughts. Okay? Let's look at Genesis chapter 24, verse 2 to 4. I want us to look at one passage about one man, after sin came into the world, how he ensured that his son married the right person. And this is a very important one for fathers and mothers. Genesis chapter 24, verse 2 to 4. I'll just read, and then we'll go through it, all right? Very quickly, Genesis chapter 24, verse 2 to 4. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand unto my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, take a wife unto my son Isaac. If you look at verse 1 in that passage, the Bible says God has already blessed Abraham with all things. God has already blessed Abraham with all things. There was one thing missing. Isaac needed a son. All right, Isaac needed a wife. Okay, because without the wife, you cannot have a son that will continue the line that will lead to the Messiah. And so it was a serious thing right now. Abraham now seeks a wife for his son. Abraham seeks a wife for his son. Learning point. The counsel of a father in the selection of a spouse is a very important principle. When children reject the counsel of parents in selection of spouse, you have a big problem waiting for you next time. God made it clear. In fact, even in the book of Proverbs, Solomon says, my son, hear what the counsel of a father. Especially in this most important place. But some may ask, but Pastor Johnny, my dad is not a Christian and mom is not a Christian. You can still consult. But on spiritual matters, consult a pastor, consult a more mature, godly man or woman or a couple that can give you that advice. There is no excuse if you do not consult your father. God made it clear, all right? So it's very important. He binds, okay, continue from there. It was so important, this decision for a spouse, he actually binds the servant under oath. Okay? It's interesting. He said, firstly, he told the elder servant of his house that ruled over all that he had. He says, put, I pray thee, thy hand under thy thigh. This elder servant was someone whom Abraham trusted. Now, I don't know about you, I will entrust this important task to someone I can trust. He said, he binds, put your hand under my thigh. thigh. I used to laugh at that until I realized putting hand under my thigh is that submit all you do under my lordship. You are to listen to me. In other words, it was an oath not to be broken. It was an ancient culture that when I get someone to agree, you put the hand under the thigh, indicating I'm willing to follow what you tell me to do. It's a very serious thing. It was an oath. It was a covenant that Abraham had with the servant. Okay? So far, I hope you understand it's a very serious, serious thing. Okay? He said, thou shalt not take the wife of the daughters of the Canaanites. Abraham had moved into the land of Canaan. He was among the Canaanites. As Christians, we have been saved out of this world. We live in a world full of unsaved, the Canaanites. And Abraham told the servant, you are not to take a wife from here. It's a very clear spiritual point. God mentioned it in the Old Testament. Mention it later. Okay? In fact, let's do it 2 verses before that. You are not to take the daughters of the Canaanites. The Canaanites were idolaters and polytheistic. In other words, they worshipped many, many pagan gods. It's the same as the culture today. But notice the warning of God. Let's turn to 2 passages. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 34. Okay? Fathers, anchor this. You need to start training your children from teenage onwards, not even before in your devotions. Start teaching them, showing them, so that in their hearts they're very clear, this is what Yahweh, my God, the Lord Jesus requires. Exodus 34, verse 15, 16. Exodus 34, Moses said, God told Moses to tell the people of Israel, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they gave a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and thy daughters go whoring after their gods, and thy sons go whoring after their gods. The warning of God to Moses to give to the children of Israel said, when you go into the land of Canaan, when you've conquered the promised land, be very careful that you don't intermarry. Why? Because the gods of this, the women of this, the girls of this world, or the non-believers, will lead you away after their gods. I was the best man for one of my best friend's wedding, okay, many years ago. Best man of a best friend. He's a Christian. I haven't met him for. We've gone out. He was very kind to me, and we were good friends. Okay, he was a twin brother, and so he got married. And in the Chinese culture today, before you get married, you have to burn joss sticks to tell the ancestors that you are getting married. And it's interesting because during the so-called Qing Cha, you know, tea and all that, I was quite taken aback. I still bad. I didn't want to be involved in that. I don't have to be involved. I just observe that he will hold the joss sticks. And his reason was this. No, it's just the beginning of a whole marriage with the thing. I don't want to cause any problems with the in-laws. The passage before us, no, the girl was a Christian, actually was a Christian, but this was the in-laws. The point is this. God said, you need to be very careful that you don't marry the daughters of the land, lest you offer a sacrifice to them. We may not offer the sacrifices of joss sticks, like for Chinese, but you can be involved in materialism. You may be involved in other gods that this particular non-believing girl or man would like to go. I like to go to the pub, I like to do this, I like to do this. I don't worry about God on Sundays. I prefer to play sports in Australia. They play sports all the time. On Sunday, sports is their God. A lot of the Australians. And if we were to connect ourselves in a relationship, according to God, this person will draw you away from Yahweh. That was God's warning to the children of Israel. Okay, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 to 4. This is the second time, but God makes it even clearer. Or rather, God kind of reinforces that the second time when Moses told, this is interesting, Book of Exodus, he was telling the group of people that came out from Egypt. In Deuteronomy, it's a second law. God is telling the new generation that's going into the promised land. Say, guys, in a few months' time, you are going to the promised land. Joshua is going to lead you in. But I want to remind you, all right? Moses, 40 years later, say, almost the same thing. Deuteronomy 7, 3 to 4, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods, and so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Now the principle here is clear. God says that if you were to intermarry with the daughters of the Canaanites, they will turn the heart away from God. There was one particular man who was not a Christian, was actually, well, involved with a girl from a church that I was in many, many years ago. All the men would come to church and he would just participate, he would ask questions, he seemed very interested. But after he got married, he actually got married, the lady didn't go to church at all now. That's about 25 years ago. They have children, but they don't go to church at all. They don't serve God, and they make no qualms about that. You never hear them again. Like I said before, it's easier for a non-believer to pull a Christian down than for a believer to lift a non-believer up. You know why? You are fighting against entrenched belief systems. The sinful nature is not going to give up without a fight. And so God warns. Let's turn back to Genesis 26. I'll show you an example of the problems that came up. Genesis chapter 26, verse 24, 25. Genesis chapter 26, verse 34 to 35. Genesis 26, verse 34, 35. Let me read. You hear, listen to the scriptures. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, which was a Canaanite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which was also a Canaanite, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and to Rebekah. You know what's the problem with Esau? Esau lived in the flesh. He was willing to give up his birthright for a bowl of soup to satisfy his temporary hunger. And because he lived in the flesh, he made decisions in the flesh. And because he made the decision in the flesh to marry these two ladies of the Canaanites, the parents had grief. Now, as I was meditating on this, if you are born in a Christian family, if your mom and dad have made every effort to train you in the right way, don't cause them to grieve till the day they die. Does that make sense? And moms and dads, we have a responsibility to train our children in the ways of God, so that you won't have problems with your father-in-law next time. Know who's your father-in-law if you married a non-believer? Mr. S.A. Tan. And this is a very serious thing. Okay, so firstly, Abraham told a servant in Genesis 24, don't marry this. Don't marry the daughters of this land, but you go to my kindred, go to my country. Interesting, Abraham, God promised Abraham, the land of Canaan will be the land that I promise you. But you know what? Abraham said, go back to my relatives. Why? Because they had a belief in the monotheistic God of Abraham. Abraham was the first person who believed in a monotheist, meaning he believed in one true God. And God took them out of the Ur of the Chaldees to go into the promised land. He was the first man in a Canaanite religion. In Singapore, we have many religions that worship many other gods. And when you become a Christian, you have one God in your heart. Does it make sense? And God says, don't be very careful that you don't go down that track. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 39. I believe it's inside your thing. And just these two verses that God actually made it clear. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 7, 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, and then she is at freedom, she has liberty to marry to whom she will. In the context of Corinthian church, many of them were non-believers before they got saved. And then after that, they got saved. And then Paul told them, look, if you're not Christians before you were saved, and after you got saved, maybe one of you, maybe the wife is a Christian, the husband is not. If the husband dies, then the wife is at freedom to marry another. But notice what Paul said, last four words, only in the Lord. There is no negotiation about that. It is a commandment from God. Because God knows that if you are unequally yoked together with two belief systems, there will be conflict. Okay? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 15, to 16, the Bible says, I'll just read, be not unequally yoked together with non-believers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? The word yoking together means walking together in the same direction. And that's what happens in businesses. That's what happens in marriages. When a non-believer and believer come together, you are yoked together in the same pathway of marriage, but you're unequally yoked. Because one will go this way, one will go that way. You will always have problems. And that's why Paul actually warns them. Okay? So, it's important for us to remember in marriage, if you're not a believer, then basically just do anything you want, really. But what I'm saying is that if you're a Christian, God wants us to get under His manual so that we can have a blessed life. Alright? And that is a very important truth. Some people may say we're narrow. But I'll tell you that if God made marriage, I'd rather go to the maker of something and ask for advice than to... You know, sometimes computers, if you have compatible, sometimes it doesn't work as compatibly. When you go for the real thing, because it knows everything. One of the things that I did with Kia, when the van, when we first bought it, was I always go back to the Kia. Apparently, because I found out that the Kia actually have, you know, the Kia motor company actually have competitions between their mechanics. And so all the, of how they fix the van and all that, and so they actually go for, Kia is from Korea, and so they actually, I think they go to Korea, and then the mechanics from all over the world will come and compete with one another of how to fix certain things and all that. So, and I've always found that there's a difference when I go to a Kia mechanic and just a normal mechanic. Because a Kia mechanic will actually know where are the motors and parts and everything and be able to do a good job. Okay? The other mechanics can do a general job. Okay? But there's nothing that the real thing. Okay? Now, third truth. Because marriage is a spiritual institution, it requires spiritual preparation. Unless we're now on a thing for us to think back how prepared we were for marriage and what kind of preparations did you have. I had 30 minutes of premarital counseling before I got married. 30 minutes. I'll never forget that. Pastor called me in, that was many years ago. 30 minutes and that's it. After that, we just plan to get married. Some people got married for different reasons, not only to yourselves at this point. Like I say, we're not trying to do an autopsy about what happened. But you know, let's look at what God has to say. What kind of spiritual preparation do we need? This is when we go into Genesis chapter 2. We go through verse passage by passage, okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. What kind of spiritual preparation do I need if I want to be prepared for this spiritual institution? Number one, it requires a growth in the character of work. What? You mean I need to learn to work? Yes. Okay, let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? The Lord God took the man, put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Being the creator of Adam and Eve, God brought the man to his place of duty. Where's the place of duty for Adam? The Garden of Eden. That's his place of duty. The Garden of Eden is a specific place. Apparently, people try to identify somewhere in the Middle East. But he had a specific place. He was supposed to go there. He was place of duty. And what was he supposed to do? What was he supposed to do? There was a specific locality with a specific job. And the job was to dress the garden. The word dress the garden has the idea, I don't have the idea of putting clothes and all that, okay? Dress the garden means to till it, prune it, making sure the flowers grow well, water it when you need to. Basically, his job was to be a gardener, to make sure the Garden of Eden was flourishing and fruitful. Hello?
Must I take out the laundry?
Well, you want to get married next time, you should. Must I wash the dishes? Well, if you want to impress someone, you need to learn those skills. It's not wrong. Do you realize, children, can I say this? Some of you are smiling at me already. Do you realize in the past, the homeschool community, not in Singapore, in the 1800s, when the Americans actually do that, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, home was a place of work. The children will go out to get the eggs, they will milk the cow, they will help dad to whatever, you know, bring the horses in, they will boil the coffee or whatever. Home was a place of work, not a place of pleasure. Hello? You know, we've changed that after the industrialization happened and all that kind of thing. But home is a place to learn work. There's nothing wrong with work. I know work after sin became a drudgery. But I like what Brother Desmond always remind us in the youth and all that. Work was actually given by God to fulfill man's potential. God made us to work. And work is supposed to be good. Some of you don't believe me, right? Right? How many children believe that work is good for you? Put up your hand. One. Amen? Anyone else? Don't be afraid. It's okay, we'll grow in the knowledge. But we need to grow in the character of work. God made Adam to work. All right, God said, Adam, you go to work. Ladies, if you're looking for a man, make sure he can work. If all he does is, can you pay for me? All he does is lace around, don't do anything. You are in for a bad deal. I'll tell you, forget it. By the way, some people are very hardworking in what they like. You need to look for a man who said, whatever you give to him, throw to him, he'll do it. And he'll do it well. A lot of us, Brother Johnny, you're making it hard for me. No. A lot of people will be faithful in what they like. Being a man of responsibility, you are to do things that sometimes you don't like. How many of you men like to go to work every day? When you have to face a boss that's unreasonable, when you face a job that's overwhelming, he's loving. But you know what? We are responsible, and we'll go and do it because we need to. And if from a young age you don't practice that, girls, open your eyes wider. That's why father and mother's counsel, even though they're non-believers, they can give you, I don't think that guy is going to be a useful guy for you. He's already 35 and he don't have a job. And he just skipped 3 jobs the last 6 months or something like that. You know, but you know, he's so handsome. You cannot live off, he cannot feed you with his hair or his handsomeness. Does that make sense? It's like God said, Adam, you go to work first. You know what Adam did? Because he was perfect, okay? He requires that. All right, we are created by God for the purpose of work. He places us where we should be. And then we are to improve and work on it and keep the job doing well. Children must learn to work from young. You know what? Children as young as 2-3 years old can start keeping toys. Simple. In fact, they enjoy it. All my children like to vacuum when they were 2 years old. When they get to 4 and 5, when it becomes a routine, it's a bit harder. They enjoy it because it's normal, huh? You know? Of course, they don't suck up anything, you know? And then after that, we got to get them out of tight corners. But you know, when it comes a routine, say, okay lah, no choice. But you know what you have done? You have taught them to overcome. If they have been doing it for a long time, you are teaching them. These are some of the habits in life. You know, as Christian parents, we drill our children in. Sometimes children, just because they cry doesn't mean we give in. Because when the job gets tough at work, you know what? We can generate a generation of children who say, when the job gets tough at work, I quit. I just look for another job. We actually grow a whole generation on unfaithful, disloyal workers. And that's what we're facing in the world. People like to do it in their own time. And bosses, in order to keep good staff, you know, they're trying to give you a lot of perks. You can work from home, no problem. No, over time. But God wants us to be loyal to the work. Okay? And this is important. The character of work must be taught because God requires that. If you want to prepare for marriage, you need to work. You know, children must learn to work because this is an ordinance of God, because of sin. By nature, we can become very lazy. Okay? It follows then, when we look for a spouse, we need to work for an individual who's willing to work. Not just looking for a man. Guys, looking for a lady who's willing to work too. Don't just, but her eyes are so glimmering. I told my children this joke. There was this joke about, okay, no offense. It's just about this guy who was looking at this girl. He said, oh, yo. But she didn't saw that there was nothing here. And the moon was, the light, sun was shining through the head. Yeah. Okay, never mind. He can explain to you later. We have to look at God's requirements when you look for a spouse. And the first requirement is to work. Number two, it requires an obedient relationship with God. Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, interesting, after he made the work, God actually gave rules for the work. Okay? He says, God commanded him, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. The Lord, in the giving of his responsibility to Adam, gave also his commandment. In other words, when you do a work, you don't do it your way, you do it God's way. Yes? When you do a work for God, you do it God's way. And that's just tending the garden. You know, simple principles of Christian ethics. When you work, you be loyal, you be faithful, you be productive, you be, if you're not too sure, you ask. Simple principles whereby you keep to the ethics of work. And God gave a commandment. Now, I want to make a comment about this commandment is given for the benefit and purpose of man's good, profit and happiness, and a continued relationship with God. God gave the commandment so that Adam will stay away from something that is wrong. Would you agree with me? God gave Adam the commandment so that he can continue to serve God and be blessed and be productive and profit the Eve that's going to come and be continue to be faithful and continue to be loyal and continue to do the right thing by just staying away from that. The commandment is given for the benefit and purpose of God, of man's good. Let me just read in Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Children, when your parents ask you to do things and do it in a certain way, learn to obey. Okay? The instruction, I like this. I was just meditating on it. I believe God gave the instruction for another person. The instruction that God gave to Adam was designed for the preservation of the innocence of the parties involved. Think about that. When Adam was working, Adam, take care of the trees, take care of the fruits. There's one tree you're not supposed to touch. Because in the day that you touch that, you will die. God designed that instruction to protect us and to protect the innocence of the parties involved. After we deal with that, because today, some people get married because they have no choice. There's a child coming. Because they have broken the line that you're not supposed to touch before you get married. Does that make sense? Very simple. Because there's supposed to be bliss, there's supposed to be blessing, there's supposed to be abundant life in a marriage life, but they got no choice. They had to get in there because, you know, many times people do that just to save face, preserve their reputation. Okay? So God gave an instruction to them. So there must be a spiritual foundation of obedience to the word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 25, I use it all the time, and I believe God just wants to reinforce that. Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine, doeth them, or liken them unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. The Lord Jesus Christ gives us instructions for this life. It is not like a teacher's lesson. It affects you and affects your generations to come. It is so involved with life itself that when you look at the scriptures and you look at relationships going around, that's why breakups and divorces and problems and they all come. Why? Because they are not following the commandments. Okay, this is a specific commandment in the Garden of Eden for the tree. But you know what? God has given a lot of principles in marriage that we need to follow so that we don't break it and we lose our innocence. Okay? And we break up what is supposed to have been beautiful. It also requires faith in trusting God. Faith in trusting God. After God, you see, Adam was, and Eve was following God. Okay, Adam was saying, okay, you want me to do it, I'll do it. No problems, I won't touch the tree. So I've just tried to look into the mind of Adam. Adam was perfect, so I don't think it's wrong to assume he never had any intention to disobey God. Because his mind was perfect. So God said it, fine, I'll do it. Just like little children. You ask them to drink salt, they'll drink salt water. Right? You know, the response will keep them away from that. But you know, when you ask them to eat whatever, they'll eat whatever, you know. Yeah, children can eat paper, tissues, toilet rolls. You know? Because why? They're innocent in their mind. I don't think it's wrong that to say that Adam actually had what God said. Well, you tell me, I'll do it. We need to have that kind of heart with regards to our relationship with God. Can I tell you, when you meet the troubles in a marriage, I've been married for 21, 22 years. Yep, 22 years. Many of the problems I had, and some of you may agree as well, that if you just listen to God, we wouldn't have that problems. And it's important for us. Before you get married, you're looking at a spouse, that he or she have an obedient relationship with God. If it doesn't, girls, don't waste your time. Guys, don't waste your time. Because whatever trend of life a person has, he will bring into marriage. Sometimes the whole marriage will change them. Sometimes, not all the time. It's only by God's grace that your spouse will change. It's only by God's intervention that your spouse will change. So be very careful. Tell the mom and dad, just because he earned a 7-figure salary every month, doesn't mean he's the best. Or she's the best. That she has an obedient relationship with God. Because we're not playing with the things of this world. We're playing with an eternal institution that God established. Or not eternal, sorry. A spiritual institution that God established. And it must be done His way in order for it to flourish. Okay? It requires, next one, it requires faith in trusting God. Look at verse 18. Now this is very interesting because some people want to get married and that's their entire life occupation. I hope it's not yours right now. Okay? Although it's not wrong to have that desire, God put this in to actually help us there as well. Alright? But look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. There's so much truth in the Hebrew words here. I just want to go through that. Why does it require faith in trusting God? Notice what God said. Who was the one who identified the need in man? God. God said, after he made man, after he made him to work, he said, hey, it's not good for man to be alone. You know why? You know, it's interesting as I'm talking to you right now. In the context of the work that God had given to Adam and Adam, God says, look, it's not going to be profitable that men do this alone. The man is not going to fulfill his fullest potential in taking care of the garden alone. In the context. When God said it is not good for man to be alone, he's already given the job. But God said he will be even more effective if I give him a helper. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? I want to say put out your hand. Smile if you understand what I'm saying. There's a job to do. Adam is doing it. God said it's not useful for him to be alone. I'll make him some. I'll get a secretary for him, basically. Yeah, but the helper is not a secretary. I'll explain that later. But it requires faith. This verse indicates the Lord's knowledge and personal interested concern with the happiness and the profit of his man. Does it make sense? God was interested, hey, this guy is not going to be, he won't get tired to death because he's perfect, but he said it's not going to be useful to him if he's all alone. He needs someone to be with him, to help him in the work. So God was interested in the happiness and the profit of his creation, okay? And the Bible says, God says, I'm going to make a helper that is suitable for Adam. I want you to notice that God knows our needs better than us. Adam will just do. But God said, hey, he needs someone. He needs someone to be with him. Okay? God knows our needs. Can I say this? Don't rush into relationships. Because God knows your needs better than you. Really. Every Christian who wants to honor God needs to submit this desire for a future spouse at the cross of Calvary and let the Lord Jesus guide you. Because the moment you're out looking, whose will is it? If you're out looking, it's your will. Okay? And you need to be very careful on that. Doesn't mean that I cannot make friends. No, I didn't say I cannot make friends. But you need an obedient relationship with God. Okay? It requires faith. As a general principle, it's never in God's plan for man to be alone. Never God's plan. Okay? As a general principle. Of course, there's another passage in Matthew 18 that says that God had made certain people eunuchs. That means they're not going to get married for different reasons. But it's generally God's plan. The principle of trust is embedded in this verse in Genesis 2:18, I will make him a helpmeet. It's a promise of God to take care of our needs. We need to trust God on that. A lot of young people here, you know, but Brother Johnny, I'm only 9 years old. We need to trust God on that. I tell my children this when they were younger. Okay, Jeremiah is 20, 21, my different children. I told them, you need to pray. Okay, Kayleen, you need to be praying for your future husband. Wow, that's heavy stuff for a nine-year-old. You know why? Because he is growing up at the same time now. Get it? Or maybe he's 1 or 2 years older than you. Pray that he's very hardworking. Pray that he has an obedient relationship with God. And pray that he will listen to his parents. And pray that he will treat all the sisters and the mothers right. Because if he treats mom and sisters right, he knows how to respect a lady. Of course, then the mom needs to pray with. Does that make sense? No, Joseph, you need to pray for your future wife. Because she's growing up right now with you. Or beside, not beside you, like, not saying in this church, but I don't know where. And I'm serious about that. You fail to recognize that the spouse we have is growing up at the same time. God has his own plan for this particular girl or guy. But you need to pray, God, and pray for this particular person. And I'm going to trust you for that person. Does that make sense? All right? It's very serious. Truth number five. It requires waiting and patience for God's best. Now, after God says it's not good for man to be alone, God did a very funny thing. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. And interesting, if you look at the context, that God made the gardens first. Okay, put Adam there. Then after God had this in mind, God actually said, okay, I'm going to make animals. Okay, from every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would name them. Can you imagine the vocabulary of Adam? I don't know how many animals were there, but he said vocabulary is huge. Okay? And he brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air, not just the animals, all the birds. God, can you imagine that this is, I don't even know, parrot I know, pelican, no, flamingos, do they fly? Can you imagine the wealth of Adam's vocab? But you know what? Adam's task was to name the animals. No, sorry, let me read. And Adam gave names to all cattle, all fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helper suitable for him. Adam's task was to name the animals. He was over all of them, but there's no one to help him with all the things he had to do. Because Adam cannot communicate with the flowers. Hello, flower. It seems that there's some sign that say that flowers can respond to you. And if you don't talk to him, flowers will die. I don't know. There's some studies that say that. I don't know. Okay? But let's be honest. The flowers are not gonna identify that I have a very anxious or very afraid, right? No. Will you? See? You don't even talk back. Adam couldn't talk to the flowers. Adam couldn't talk to the lions. Say, hi, Mr. Lion. You don't know whether he's angry, hungry, or... And over time, Adam began to realize, hey, I cannot communicate with the flowers, and I don't understand the language of the elephants. But then he realized for Mr. Elephant, there's a Mrs. Elephant. Mr. Camel, there's a Mrs. Camel. And they can communicate in their whatever language. I said, what about me? Because the animals and plants couldn't communicate with Adam on a physical, emotional, and spiritual level, God said, this is not a helper suitable for you. There are people today who prefer dogs to a spouse. I have a very sad situation, but it did happen. There was one man who I knew him for many years, and I didn't meet him until one day I met him. And then he asked me, he told me something about his family. It was really funny. He was married. And he asked me that, do you know, Johnny, I'm looking for a room to rent. And he said, like, why? I thought you had a house. Yeah. But I cannot stand the cats anymore. I said, what cats? Oh, my wife got 9 cats in the house. And she will not get rid of it at all. And I told her, look, it's me or the cats. She said, no, I'm going to keep the cats. I hope you won't give up your spouse for cats or dogs or terrapins or sharks. Because you cannot talk, you cannot, don't try to kiss a shark. You can't communicate. There's no physical connection, there's no emotional connection, and there's no spiritual connection for sure. You know why it needs patience? Because God knows what is best. And it's an important principle. It's funny, but you know. And then Genesis 20, chapter 2, verse 21, God went to work. Can I say, just because you are waiting and patiently waiting for God's best, God is always at work for the benefit of His children. God is always at work for the benefit of His children. You see, when Adam and Eve was just obeying God, God was already getting to work. Guess what? Later on in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep before one Adam, and he slammed into one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. So the Lord knew that Adam needed someone, and God, you know, this is such a revelation. I told my wife yesterday, after I studied this, it made her see me from a different light. Do you realize that God didn't make Eve from the dust? God made the animals from the dust. God made men from the dust. Maybe that's why we look like animals sometimes. No. But God never made Eve from the dust. Where did God make Eve from? The side. The ribs. You know why? He made that to show us, ladies, you are not individual. You and the husband are made from the same material. You are equal. You are equal. You know, just thinking about men being in charge and lady submission, which is not wrong in Scripture. Not wrong in Scripture. But then you realize, my wife and I are made from the same material, equal in the sight of God. Just that God gave us different roles. It's like two generals, but one is in command, but one's on the field. But they're still same. They're same, equal in power, but they just have different roles. Or it made me see my wife from a totally different light. And I kind of coined this thing. We are like a Batman and Robin. You know? Both of us have our own skills and all that. You know why God took the rib out from Adam's side? After I talk about that, actually, I don't want to jump the gun. But I want us to understand this. Why the rib of Adam and why Eve was a helper suitable? They were made from the same material. Because Adam said, now you are bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. God designed the wife to reinforce the husband's job. I say that again. This is very important. Let's pretend you're an army force. I think the army people may understand this. Let's say you're supposed to deal with this situation and you're strong in yourself. But the commander said, no, I'm going to give you another force to reinforce your task. That means you're twice as strong. I realized one thing. You know, it made me see my wife. The first time as a pastor, I saw that. I'm sorry. I'm teaching marriage and all that. I realized one thing. My wife is not just someone to be in submission to me. She's my Robin. No Batman and Robin. They both have their own individual characteristics, strength and all that. But they're supposed, you know what? Batman by himself may lose, but Batman and Robin together, they can save the world. That's what God means. And husbands, we've got to recognize that God, when God made them from the same material, just get this, God already made man, he was already strong. God made, he made double one. Reinforce. That's why cleaving means to superglue two individuals that were supposed to be one in the first place. I'm going to put them together to become the dynamic duo to face your trials in life. That the husbands may need to make the... God still have the husbands in charge and the wife. We'll talk about the breakdown of family in other messages. But when God made the wife, husbands is to reinforce us. But you know what? It presupposes the husband is taking charge. It means that the husband already know what God wants him to do. He was already doing it. Remember the character of work? Remember the character of obedience to God? This is already happening. God is saying the wife comes to reinforce that to make you even stronger. Does that make sense? Okay? And husbands, we need to look at our wives to realize that she didn't have to choose us. But God made her do it. No, she didn't actually have to choose us. She could have chosen someone else. But God, in the economy of his will, says Lydia is the best for Johnny. I've always in my mind knew that no one else can replace Lydia, my wife. And we need husbands to need, we need to have that, because she could have married someone else. All the young girls are saying, wow, I don't know what they're talking about. But you know what? I hope this changes our mind forever about the fact that when God gave us a wife, I'm not the best husband. She bears with my snoring at night. He bears with a lot of weakness of my life. But yet she still stood by me. Husbands, we need to realize when God caused Adam to sleep and took the rib out, we are made from the same material. And God made the wife to reinforce what God intends for the husband to do in the first place. In other words, you are doubly strong in the affairs of life. After sin, what happened? There was conflict. And you will find that sin is always the conflict between husband and wives, even today. You know what's the first thing to break down? Remember the communication? You know why God made Eve? Because Eve, God didn't ask the flowers to marry Adam. Today there are people who marry dogs. Some of you, right? They actually have a ceremony for dogs. And this man, and it's like, have you heard the man who actually gave about over 100 million pounds in inheritance to a dog? I mean, that's in the internet. But you know what? At Adam, I cannot communicate with the flowers, but I can communicate with my wife. As Adam, I cannot communicate with the dog. Woof, woof. I don't think he understands my tense and my grammar and all. You're probably wondering, what on earth is this story saying? But you know what? God made my wife, so I can communicate with her. But even that has a problem. You know why? Because of sin, communication sometimes breaks down. These are foundation basics. It requires patience and trust, waiting and patience for God's best. These are the different areas we need to take note of. Okay? In Exodus chapter 18, verse 4, you can just look at the verse. I'll just read this to help us understand. The help suitable has the idea of you already strong. I'm giving you an additional help to strengthen you. Okay? The same help is translated there in Exodus chapter 18, verse 4. And the name of the other was Eliezer, for the God of my father, said he, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. So the help there has the idea of, in this passage, that God was the help to this particular nation of Israel. Okay? So in the same way, Eve was not a weakling. She was endowed with individual characteristics designed to reinforce what God intended in the first place. Does that make sense? So in other words, husband and wife are supposed to be the dynamic duo. Of course, in God's economy, the man will still make the decisions, but the wife will need to reinforce that. But listen carefully, the wife is not to usurp over, because otherwise that actually breaks down the whole cycle. Okay, that one we talk about that another time. But it requires patience. The word meet suitable, the word meet means suitable in the Hebrew, means interesting. This rib again. The wife is created, so it's supposed to reinforce. But the word mean, help meet, suitable in the Hebrew also means contrasting. Like two jigsaw puzzles. The two jigsaw puzzle pieces are different, but they're joined together so they can form one complete picture. Yes? That's what the Hebrew word help meet means. In other words, I can do one thing, someone else can do something else. It may be totally contrasting. So the idea of people compatible, and the idea of compatible means, oh, she and me like to play badminton. She and me like, no, you're not going to play badminton for the rest of your life every day. These are common interests that draw you together. But characteristic personality, God made such that, yeah, you may be totally opposing, but yet complementing. And that's where we need to humble ourselves. Because in some things, our wives, husbands are better than us. And just in case the wife said, huh, tell it to them, Pastor. In some things, the husbands are better than the wives. God put these two together to be complementing. And that's very important. Because the Hebrew word has the idea of contrasting but fitting together. It means that the woman was created with complementary strength that enhances, I say again, enhances the strength and abilities of the man when they are put together. So when God put you, man, you have your strength, but God put the complementing strength to make sure you're strong. That's why cleaving means super glue. You know, one board, you know, a karate chop can break. Two boards together makes it harder. That's what it means. Okay? A helper that is suitable. In these verses, we see one thing. God was at work. Adam was cooperating all the time. And Adam didn't know what the Lord was up to. He just obeyed. Notice the obedient relationship with God. When you are single, give yourselves to obeying God in His word. You don't have to be anxious about your future. God knows when's the best time. So what do I, Brother Johnny, so what do you mean by waiting? Waiting involves being busy with God's work. That was what Adam was busy, doing what God says. Tending to the garden, naming the animals, and submitting to God. This waiting also involves being submissive to what God says. Okay, when we obey God's truth, this union, okay, when it actually happens, the wedding, you'll be blessed with four things. Number one, you're blessed with strength. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, and the rib which the Lord God taken from man, made he a woman, brought her unto man. I shall explain the whole thing. Do you realize your life will be more strengthened after marriage when you've waited on God? And you can do more for God because of the strength. I've seen godly couples, when they put together, it's very hard to defeat them. Dynamic duo. Now, Batman can be defeated. I don't know the story of Batman. I think that Batman may be weak, but when Robin comes, or vice versa, I don't know the whole story, but I do know that when you work together, the Bible says two are better than one. And God reinforces that. Your relationship, the union will be blessed. When we obey this truth, the union will be blessed with strength. Number two, you'll be blessed with joy. Genesis 2:23 says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Finally, I can communicate with someone. I'm going to call you, whoa, man, you know, woman. Yeah, okay. I'm going to call you, woman. It was actually the flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, was an ancient way of crying of joy. Look, I've got someone, Mr. and Mrs. Elephant. I don't have to talk to you anymore. I've got my own missus. I can communicate. And this is flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. She was happy because he was taken out of me. He was equal. I can talk to him now. And one of the biggest breakdowns in marriages is what? Communication. And we'll be talking about that as we go along. But you know, there was joy. And then Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, there's unity. Therefore shall a man leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife. Adam and Eve didn't have a father or a mother at that time. This was prophetic. This is a principle of marriage. The leaving and the cleaving was given on hindsight. Moses was the one who wrote Genesis, and God inspired Moses to put it in as part of the whole situation that when you get married, you have to leave and cleave. Leave, by the way, it's a man leaving. You know why? Because the wife is going to follow. But if men, we are going to cleave to our, they call it mother's string, apron strings, right? If we're always going to go back to our mother and we're going to be weak, and we're not going to be ruling, we're just basically still tied or dependent on our parents, we have a big problem. The wife is going to say, I've left everything for you and you're cleaving to your mother? Your father? Does that make sense? When a man is called to leave, in God's will, God wants him to be independent, spiritually mature, and able to take care of someone else. Because if you're not spiritually mature, you cannot solve the problems of life. And many people opt for divorce because they do not know how to manage life. But God says you need to be spiritually mature. You need to lead. And I always told myself, remind myself of my children. My wife married me, she gave up everything. Everything. And I was meeting with Pastor Charlie, and she was saying something which touched my heart. She said, "He's not. It was only by God's grace that she married the wife that he has now." And he always reminds himself that my wife, to him, is God's grace upon his own life. You know, dads, if we ever just come to the point to think that way, that God, I'm married to this lady is because of your grace, we will treat her differently. I know she's not perfect, just as I'm not perfect. I know she may have certain things. In the morning, she may look in a certain way. And you may not like it, or you may have habits and behaviors that are not right, but you know what? She's still stood by you. But husbands, we need to lead. We need to leave, and then we need to cleave. The word cleave has to do with super gluing. That we will, there's nothing's going to separate us. If you don't ever remember anything, just remember this. Remember, your wife beside you is the best one that God gave you. There is no other. So don't look around. There is no one else. And it's very important for us to understand that. Because when you have that attitude with your heart before God, when there's a trouble, you work it out. And God has given us a manual to work it out. You know, fathers, many times, it could just be of our pride. That it has to be done my way. Of course, vice versa, the wife may have so, but you know what? That's where submission to one another comes in. They say, God, I submit to you first. Lord, I'm going to identify. Even husbands, if you are just 1% wrong, admit you're wrong. Even if it's just 1%, maybe it's your tone, your attitude, whatever. Even if it's 1%, just admit that and let God do the work. That, okay? So, but then there'll be unity, and finally, Genesis 2:25, there'll be purity in the relationship, and they were both naked, the man and his wife were not ashamed. Unfortunately, many marriages, many people get together because they are not supposed to be involved in immorality, but they did that before. Child is coming, they got married. But if you will follow, you know, if you have an obedient relationship to Christ, with Christ, you will not touch, you will not be involved in any of these premarital things before. Okay, and guys, hands off. If you're not married, you're not supposed to touch anyone of the opposite gender unless you be guilty of taking away something that belongs to someone else next time. And girls, don't be so free to put your hands around other men, boys, and teens and whatever, and think that, oh, it's just in the name of fun. Because girls, when you put your hand around a guy, the guy reads differently. I say it again, you send a different message to the guy. Okay? You think, oh, he's just my big brother. Oh. Many young girls are being taken advantage of simply because of that. You say, you touch me, what? No, I'm just, no. Please be very careful. Physical intimacy is only reserved for marriage. Anything outside of that is sin against God. The Bible says God will judge. That's why God put that to protect marriage. Does that make sense? Thou shalt not commit adultery is put there to protect the sanctity of marriage. And when we follow obedience to Christ, the union will be pure. And by the way, if you have kept yourself pure, you're not involved, do you realize when you get married, after that, you're pure for the rest of your life? Because the Bible says the bed is undefiled. In other words, if you kept yourself pure, free from physical immorality, and when you have children together, the man and the woman remains pure for the rest of your life in the sight of God. Because the Bible says, within the bounds of marriage, it is not impure. It is pure before me. Does that make sense? As we close, some of us may say, Brother Johnny, I blew it already. God can forgive. Amen. And we need to come to God and say, God, I've not lived any of these principles, but I repent. And I want to put your principles in so that I can have your blessings. And am I speaking to someone who may have been, I don't know, I really don't know any of your backgrounds, but if you got into marriage for any other reason, other than the Bible reason, other than the reason that you know it's God's will, you need to repent of that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. My intention was wrong. That's not to say you go back and undo and break off the marriage. No. Set your heart right with God and say, God, you take control from now. Start loving your wife, start loving your children, start loving your husband, start doing it right. Because God is always a God of second chances. Amen. But you know what? You've got to come back to Him. You know, recently I had to bring a tablet to Lenovo because the camera was broken. And that was the only place that I could get it fixed. Because it's still under warranty, they have this. You know what? If I bring this camera to somewhere else, I'm not going to get it fixed properly. Because only the Lenovo experts know how to fix it. If you have a broken marriage or something that you know is troubling, you need to go to the correct service department. You got to come back to God. And I'm saying that if God is touching our hearts in certain area, whether it's between you and your wife and husband, whether it's children and parents, we need to do business with God in our hearts. For younger people who are not married, I will strongly advise you to put these spiritual principles. Work hard. Have an obedient relationship with God now. Because when God brings the person around, you want to be ready. Okay? Have faith to trust that God will bring the best. If you are a Christian, God will always give you the best. But, you know, sometimes children at the department store will throw tantrums because they're not getting what they want. But actually, the dad may have something better for them. But they throw tantrum and all that. And we need to be very clear. We need to be patient. We need to be wait on God's will. Because God's will is always worth waiting for. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's close. Lord, thank you. I think many people are listening intently. But Lord, we know that a lot of practical things that are happening in the book of Genesis. And Lord, I'm praying that you teach us to yield to you first. Father, these principles are given to us for our happiness, for our peace on earth, within the family, Lord, in the world, in our workplace. We have lots and lots of trials and difficulties. But yet, Lord, when we come home, you want it to be a place where we are accepted, we are loved. A place, Father, that conflict is minimal, or at least conflict is met with the peace of God and being Spirit-filled. Oh Lord, I pray for all of us here that we would relook at our wedding and our marriage and our families from the perspective of God. And taking into account what we learned last week about charity and love, to apply this to the structure of the family, the foundational truth about spiritual preparation, about our relationship with you, about patience, about the fact that we will be blessed with strength and purity and joy and unity when we follow your rules. It's not to say, Father, I think we all know that. It's not to say that the family won't have problems. But it's to say, Lord, help me to get in line with you. Your eyes closed, heads bowed. Is there anyone who said, Pastor, pray for me? And God has spoken to my heart in some area. I just need someone to pray for me. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see those hands. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. I see that hand. Put it up, put it down, and pray in your hearts. I don't know your need, but God does. Is there someone else? Father, I pray for these brethren that put up their hands. I ask you, Lord, to bring them closer to you in their relationship with you, in their willingness to follow you. Yeah, sometimes it's going to be hard. But Lord, we know that you are there for us, with us. You're in us as we are Christians. Lord, I pray that you strengthen every family, husband and wife together. That their communication might be sweet and close. Father, you have made a helper suitable for us. I pray for every father who has put up their hand, that Lord, you will change us to be like you, so that our wives and our children can see a pattern of Christ. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray, Lord, as fathers or mothers make decisions, Lord, it's not going to be easy, but I pray that you will give us your Holy Spirit and grace and strength and help us, Lord, to make those decisions. Strengthen us. Be our help. Reinforce our decision that we might be successful as we learn to walk in your ways. That our children might see your blessings and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, with the meeting to follow, I pray for your will. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.